You're listening to another top-rated radio show on the USA Talk Radio Network.
Welcome to the American Hour with your host, Commander Tom Garcia, on the USA Talk Radio Network.
Good evening, everybody. This is Commander Tom Garcia, and welcome to the American Hour. Of course, I need to let you know that our lovely co-host, Paula Lozon, is not going to be with us this week. She's on important business and away, but we expect her back next week, so we miss her. And we got a couple of administrative things to talk about here today. I just want to point something out, and it kind of makes me laugh. The first time I ever broadcast, my very first broadcast, actually my first week of broadcasting, I just wanted to get used to the equipment and everything, what I was doing, and I did not tell anybody. Well, I told a couple people I was broadcasting, and just kind of did it sort of in the blind, wasn't going to be taking any callers. That episode is one of our most highly downloaded episodes. I'm going to have to go back and listen to it and see if there's something on there that I either bloopered or whatever, but I'm not to say that I didn't know what I was doing. I've been on plenty of radio shows over the years, but to be doing my own, and I actually did the broadcast, if you want to call it remote, but I did it live from Sao Paulo, Brazil. And that first week, I did my broadcasting at least the 3 days worth, I think, down in Sao Paulo, Brazil when I was down there. So it's interesting to go back and see how many people have downloaded that first show. So I'll have to go back and revisit and just take a look at it. But in any case, if you're not following us on Facebook, if you're not following us on Twitter, you are missing out. And I'm going to explain here in a few minutes. But we'll come back to these. But you've got to get on Facebook with us, The American Hour Radio Show on Facebook, and then Twitter, The American Hour, all one word, The American Hour. You're missing out on too much stuff. I'm going to give you some examples here in a few minutes, but I want to point out some things here that are important that don't particularly have to do the show and tell you what also is going on with the show today and tomorrow. But first of all, my good friend Joan Flowers called today, and I didn't get a chance to call her back, but she called and said that her father's medal showed up, 4 medals from World War II. Her father's buried in an unmarked grave in Chicago, and we are working desperately to find a way to get him to Arlington. Now, we've come pretty close to the conclusion that there's not a way to force the military to do it. But they will accept him in Arlington, so next phase is going to be having to raise the money so that we can have him moved from his current site in Chicago to Arlington. So that'll be our next phase of operations here. But she got the 4 medals. He was a hero in World War II and deserves to be buried in Arlington, and we will continue to pursue that until that day becomes reality. So congratulations to Joan on getting those medals, and we will continue working on this issue. I wanted to let you know that working with me as a co-chair for the Region 3 Central Florida, which is all of Central Florida, Sonny Rinker, who has been working with me as a co-chair for the Rick Santorum campaign. Yes, we support Rick Santorum. He's our guy, and we wish him the best of luck in this primary. I predicted he would come in second in Iowa, if you recall, and he initially came in second, then he came in first. I'm also predicting he will come in second in Florida. So there you have it. There are a lot of Tea Partiers and a lot of patriots in this state that make him a real threat to the other candidates, and that's why they're concerned about him, as well as the left is concerned about him. They're running ads against him, the left. You think, oh, but isn't it Romney and Gingrich the lead? Wait and see what happens when the polls close. Okay, but our own Sonny Rinker did an interview on WACX Super Channel, which is a Christian TV station in Central Florida. Plays in about 16 different counties. The largest one, largest area would be the Orlando area. But it was taped, yesterday, and it was played last night at 10 p.m., then again at 8 and 2 today. So you go, well, Tom, what are you telling us? Mystic. You can go to their website and watch it online. Sounds like it was a great interview. I've already gotten some emails and calls about, hey, I saw Sonny on TV. That was great. So you need to check that out. And here's how you can get there. It's the TV station is WACX. I'm going to phoneticize that. W as in William, A as in Alpha, C as in Charlie, X as in X-ray. WACXTV.com. WACXTV.com. Go there and look for the interview. And it was just done yesterday. Sunny Rinker is the one they interviewed on TV. She's been on that channel before, but this time she was talking about why she's a Rick Santorum supporter. So don't miss out on that. Okay. What we're going to talk about tonight, a couple of different things. Probably the most important is Abraham Lincoln predicted this presidency. Yes, believe it or not, you are going to believe me by the end of the night, he predicted Barack Obama would be the lousy president that he is. How did he know? Oh, Tom, how did you find this out? Well, he gave a speech back in, let's see, what's the date of that? 1838, January 27th, 1838, literally, a couple days from now, in January. And he talked about a lot of things. He talked about, well, the title really of the speech was The Perpetuation of Our Political Institutions. Wow, it was a problem back then. It's still a problem now. It's even worse now. And this president's made it 10 times worse. But we're going to tell you what he predicted about a president someday in the future and what they would do to this country. So, let's see. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Also, Warren Buffett, Secretary at the State of the Union, message there last night. And in the news tonight, also cuts in military spending. We got to cut excessive military spending. What's on the plate for tomorrow? The intellectual inferiority of the left is what we're going to talk about. Great article on that, plus my own additions to it. The intellectual inferiority of the left. Don't miss it tomorrow night, 7 p.m. again. And let's go back to Facebook. Well, if you didn't, if you aren't following us, you missed out on the fact that I called out Shepard Smith. Yeah, I call him Shemp, for saying that Mitt Romney made $21 million last year without working. Oh, my gosh. Holy shamoly. Isn't that so evil? Yeah, I can't tell you what my parents made last year, but they made it without working. That's because they're called retired. Oh, my gosh. One day I'll be making money every year by not working. It's called working your butt off your whole life and then retiring. Okay, not too many people make $21 million in retirement, but he's one of those lucky few that does. But no, that's bad. He's evil. You can't make that much. So anyway, if you're following us on Facebook, you'd see that whole call out there on him that I did last night about a paragraph that I wrote up. And then a photo of my father, who's retired and not working. And all the money he gets this year from not working. But there he was in Vietnam and sitting there in his flight suit with the Special Forces guys that he worked with and flew around with and as a helicopter pilot. Yeah, I guess maybe he just doesn't deserve that money anymore, you know, for not working. On Twitter, let's go over a couple of tweets that I put out here recently. Of course, I put out about the show tonight that Lincoln predicted this disaster of a president. We'll discuss tonight's show. And so right there on Twitter, link to our webpage so you can listen to the show and the call-in number. What else have I put out in the last few days? John Boehner's guest to the State of the Union. Keystone workers, yeah, you're going to bring Warren Buffett's secretary, who I'm sure is really, really suffering because she pays a higher tax rate than her boss, Warren Buffett. But, yeah, she pays a huge – anyways. And then I put on here, I pay a higher tax rate than a billionaire secretary. Not fair. Can you believe that, folks? I pay a higher tax rate than Warren Buffett's secretary, and she works for a billionaire. Now, what did Obama say last night in the same breath? Literally, in the same breath, he says millionaires and billionaires and then says, so is it unfair that anybody making over $250,000 has their taxes, blah, 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 and whatever? Why does he go around saying millionaires and billionaires and then, oh, if you make over $250,000? I wish I were a billionaire by only making $250,000 a year. I wish I could make $250,000 and then qualify to be a billionaire and actually have billions. Millionaires and billionaires, he loves to say, but the reality is, he's coming after small businesses, anybody making over $250,000 or if they're single, making over $200,000. So he's coming for small businesses. Then later on, I'll give you my always famous repetition of how he's coming after the middle class. When he goes after the rich, he's actually coming after the middle class. So in any case, tomorrow, the intellectual inferiority of the left, and tonight we're going to talk about Abraham Lincoln's prediction of this horrible, horrible administration and presidency. So let's get right to it. at the start, I've taken excerpts out of, but not out of context. I've just taken entire paragraphs out of his speech because some things have nothing to do with what we're talking about tonight. But he starts off by saying that our government should have been maintained in its original form, that our government should have been maintained in its original form from its establishment until now, is not much to be wondered at. It had many props to support it through that period, which now are decayed and crumbled away. What he's saying is, we were a new young nation, and we had to try and achieve what we set out to do with our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution. So there were lots of people, no matter what their belief was on how, really, truly, how government should be run, et cetera, but worked really hard to ensure that the rule of law was followed, in other words, our Constitution. And so it succeeded for quite some time. But over time, those things began to erode. And so he gets a little bit more into that, and it's very insightful, this entire piece. But through that period, it was felt by all to be an undecided experiment. In other words, hey, we don't know if it's going to work or not. Nobody's ever done this before. Now it is understood to be a successful one. To be a successful one. Then all that sought celebrity and fame and distinction expected to find them in the success of that experiment. Their all was staked upon it. Their destiny was inseparably linked with it. Their ambition aspired to display before an admiring world a practical demonstration of the truth of a proposition which had hitherto been considered at best no better than problematical, namely the capability of a people to govern themselves. So in this paragraph, what Lincoln is saying is we have people that risked a lot. They risked their lives. They risked their estates. They risked their wealth. They risked anything that they had. They risked their families. It was a dangerous and unknown period, a lot of risk. But like anything, if you do succeed, not only is it a great thing, in this case, for our country, but you probably are going to become famous. All right, I had to take a little sip there, keep my throat from getting too dry. Now, he continues, if they succeeded, they were to be immortalized. Their names would be transferred to counties and cities and rivers and mountains. And is that not true? You know, we find the names Jefferson and Madison and Washington and all over the place. And to be revered and sung and toasted through all time. If they failed, though, they were to be called knaves and fools and fanatics for a fleeting hour, then to sink and be forgotten. Well, guess what, folks? They succeeded. They succeeded. Our founders succeeded. And Lincoln continues, the experiment is successful, and thousands have won their deathless names in making it so. But here's the key. This is the key to the whole night about what we're going to talk about here. But the game is caught. In other words, the game's over. The game was played, and it was a risky one. But they won in the end. Think about your favorite Super Bowl game. Think about the most incredible Super Bowl game ever played. One that every team envies. But it's over, and it can't be replayed. But everybody wants to repeat it, or everybody would like to outdo it. But it's not going to happen in this case. And in this case, we're not just talking about a game. We're talking about our government, our society, what our entire nation was founded upon. It's over, is what he's saying. So let me read this again. The experiment is successful, and thousands have won their deathless names in making so. But the game is caught, and I believe it is true, that with the catching, in the pleasures of the chase. Well, it was pretty risky, and I don't know how much pleasure there was in it. But at some point, our founders had to be pretty pleased with themselves, establishing a brand new government devised in a way that had never been put together before, and one that they really thought and really believed would be successful, and many of them lived long enough to see it be successful and hope it would continue to be that way. So now President Lincoln, and of course he wasn't president when he actually gave the speech, but he was on his way. He continues on explaining about this concept of the Constitution has been written. The fame, you can't have that again. The game is over. And it's really our job at this point to maintain it. So let's see what he has to say. And he uses some great analogies. This field of glory is harvested, and the crop is already appropriated. But new reapers will arise, and they too will seek a field. It is to deny what the history of the world tells us is true, to suppose that men of ambition and talents will not continue to spring up amongst us. And when they do, they will naturally seek the gratification of their ruling passion as others have so done before them. The question is, can that gratification be found in supporting and maintaining an edifice? He's talking about the Constitution, like a building, like a structure with a strong foundation. An edifice that has been erected by others? Most certainly it cannot. So what he's saying is it enough for people of true ambition and to get elected to office to just simply then follow in the footsteps and follow what our founders set in place? No, it never is. Not for people with big, big egos. Now, he goes on to kind of explain this. There are people that can do that. You know, many great and good men sufficiently qualified for any task that they should undertake may ever be found whose ambition would inspire to nothing beyond a seat in Congress or governor of a state or even the president of the United States. But such belong not to the family of the lion or the tribe of the eagle. What, you think these places would satisfy Alexander, Caesar, or Napoleon? Never. So what he's saying is it's not even enough to be a governor of a state or even president of the United States, but to remake, to redo what our founders did, to have that kind of fame and memoriam. And what did our current president say when he got elected? We are going to fundamentally transform the United States of America. So he's not satisfied with just being president and walking in the footsteps of those great, great, so much farther great than he is and ever will be men, the founders. No, he's not satisfied in that. And let's just see what Lincoln predicts will happen when a guy like this comes along. And I'm going to have to go back and explain this to you because a lot of my friends always tell me, oh, Tom, I don't know what you're even talking about there. So I'm going to come back and go through it piece by piece in this one paragraph. Because this paragraph is key. Towering genius disdains a beaten path. It seeks regions hitherto unexplored. It sees no distinction in adding story to story upon the monuments of fame erected to the memory of others. It denies that its glory, that it is glory enough to serve under any chief. It scorns to tread in the footsteps of any predecessor, however illustrious. It thirsts and burns for distinction. And if possible, it will have it, whether at the expense of emancipating slaves or enslaving free men. So let's go back and pick this apart. And then we've got one more paragraph to go through, actually two small paragraphs in a similar fashion. Towering genius disdains a beaten path. People like Barack Obama consider themselves to be towering geniuses. They tower above everybody else, and they're just so much smarter than everybody else. When in fact, he's never actually accomplished anything. He's accomplishing a lot now, and it's not good stuff. But people with really, really big egos, they might not be that smart, but they always think they are. Okay, disdains a beaten path. People like that do not want to follow others. They want to lead. And it's understandable. We need people like that. I used to explain it to people like this. You find a brilliant surgeon or a scientist or an inventor, that towering genius, the desire to create a new path and not just follow the beaten path, has made incredible discoveries, whether it be in the field of medicine. Look at somebody like Bill Gates in the computer industry, or Steve Jobs and Apple in the computer industry, and then scientists that have created miraculous things. I mean, look at the vehicles we drive around in today. Okay, we need people like that. The problem is when it's a politician and then an actual elected official, it's a double-edged sword. They could be somebody like Lincoln or Ronald Reagan or Thomas Jefferson, or they could be somebody like Hugo Chavez or Fidel Castro or Stalin or Hitler. It's a double, you don't know which way it's going to go. So it's a dangerous thing. But these kind of people with huge egos do not want to walk in a beaten path, a path that's already been carved by somebody else. They want to make a new path. It seeks regions hitherto unexplored. In other words, these people seek to go places where nobody's gone before. A little bit like Star Trek, right? But seek to go where nobody else, again, great if you're a scientist or you're a spaceman or something like that. Not so good if you're a politician sometimes. It sees no distinction in adding story to story. No. See, adding story, just kind of piling on, yep, we're the United States of America, and we got this Constitution, we follow, and it works great. No. It's rewriting the story. It's writing an entire new story. So not adding to the existing story. They can't do that. Upon the monuments of fame erected to the memory of others. You know, okay, so it sees no distinction in just adding to the story of our founders and their fame and their memory. It wants that fame, or they, these kind of people want this fame, and they want to be remembered in that similar way. But remember, he said, the time has passed. Okay, it denies that it is glory enough to serve under any chief. It's just not good enough for them. It scorns to tread in the footsteps of any predecessor. I think you can figure that one out. However illustrious, I would love to tread in the footsteps of Thomas Jefferson or James Madison. But no, not somebody like Barack Obama. It thirsts, and here's the key, it thirsts and burns for distinction. It thirsts and burns for distinction. He needs distinction. And if possible, he'll do it, whether it means freeing slaves or enslaving free men. It doesn't really matter how he gets that distinction. He's going to get that distinction. Is it unreasonable, next paragraph, is it unreasonable then to expect that some man possessed of the loftiest genius, coupled, and I define loftiest genius as not really so much genius, just massive ego and some smarts, but massive ego and just determined, this is what they're going to do, coupled with ambition sufficient to push it to its utmost stretch, will it sometime spring up among us? Is it? He's saying yes, it is possible, and it's going to happen. And here's a solution. And when such a one does, it will require the people to be united with each other, attached to the government and laws, and generally intelligent to successfully frustrate his designs. Now, I know what you libtards out there are going to say. Oh, that describes George Bush. Loftiest genius and coupled with ambition to push it to the utmost stretch. That was George Bush, not Barack Obama. Well, which is it? You guys, you libtards always say that George Bush was an idiot. And you're saying it's a genius? Which is genius, idiot, genius, idiot. You guys are idiots. Okay, so about George Bush, we're talking about, obviously, Barack Obama. Now, here's the final small paragraph that just kind of sews it all together and shows you just what this president is doing and Abraham Lincoln predicted. Distinction will be his paramount object, and although he would as willingly, perhaps more so, acquire it by doing good as harm, yet that opportunity is past. Remember we said earlier, that field is harvested. That opportunity being passed and nothing left to be done in the way of building up, he will boldly set to the task of tearing down. There you have it. That's exactly what's going on here. How do you fundamentally transform the United States of America without undoing what the founders did? And that's called the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. It cannot be done. They are the fundamentals, the foundation of this nation. So to transform the fundamentals, you got to get rid of those documents. Get rid of them. Get rid of him. He's been violating the Constitution repeatedly, showing that he doesn't have to follow it. So there are Lincoln's predictions. Now, let me just take a look at my notes. Well, I'll go back to what I said earlier. Well, no, I didn't say this earlier, but I promoted this for the show. Rush Limbaugh, the other day, talking about Newt Gingrich and Rick Santorum, when Rick Santorum referred to Newt's grandiosity. And Rush defended him, not Santorum, but Newt Gingrich, saying that, well, you got to be grand. I'd be grand. You got to think grand. You got to be big. Our founders were big, and on and on and on, talking about what our founders did. And wouldn't people have thought that our founders were being grandiose with the Declaration of Independence and breaking away from Great Britain and going to war with them and then founding our own country in this huge continent that could potentially expand and get bigger and bigger? We just went through an entire speech where Lincoln said that's not what this country needs. And I'm going to side with Lincoln on this one, opposed to Rush. Grandiosity is not what this country needs. We have a roadmap for success. It was put together maybe in a grandiose way, but as Lincoln said, needs to simply be maintained. And let me go back and find that exact quote. Field of glory is harvested and the crop is already, no, you don't want to hear that. The question is, can that gratification be found in supporting and maintaining an edifice that was erected by others? Maintaining and supporting. Supporting and maintaining. Well, if what Rush says about Newt is correct, no, he won't be gratified just supporting and maintaining an edifice. He also wants what Barack Obama wants, and that is to go down in history like our founders did. So he's going to have to do something. Will it be good for us? Will it be bad for us? Remember, Lincoln said, these kind of people, it doesn't matter. If they can do good, they will. But a guy like Barack Obama is not capable of doing good. So he's going to tear down. Newt might build up, but he also might do some things that we don't want or need. And Lincoln's point in this whole lecture was just follow the Constitution. Just support the Constitution. Just stick to the Constitution. And so here is the final, that's what I was going to jump to, that when Rush mentioned the founders, and I'm going to read this statement again. Can that gratification be found in supporting and maintaining an edifice that was erected by others? So here's the final quote of the night from Lincoln's address. This is what we need. This does not go along with what Rush Limbaugh said. This is more in line of what Rick Santorum said. Passion has helped us, especially when you think back to, you know, the Revolutionary War and putting together a constitution. Passion has helped us, but can do so no more. It will be in the future our enemy. Reason, cold, calculating, unimpassioned reason, must furnish all the materials for our future support and defense. Let those materials be molded into general intelligence, sound morality, and in particular, a reverence for the Constitution and laws. There you have it. Grandiosity is not what we need, Rush Limbaugh. It's not what we need, Newt Gingrich. It's reason, cold, calculating, unimpassioned reason to support and defend and revere the Constitution and our laws, not coming up with some grandiose new idea. No. So that is President Lincoln predicting Barack Obama. Now, the second thing I said I was going to talk about was Warren Buffett's secretary at the State of the Union address. And, of course, the president, as I mentioned earlier, talks about millionaires and billionaires in one breath and then says, yeah, we're going to raise the taxes on anybody making over $250,000. That's not a millionaire or billionaire. But now let's take a look at something. We've talked about on the show before, and you've heard it a million times, but I'm going to point something out a little bit different that you haven't got. There's a difference in the tax rate between personal income and investment income. I pay personal income because I work for a living for a company. Now, is it fair that my tax rate is higher than somebody who earns income just on investments? Well, you could say it's unfair. The president says it's unfair. Okay. His solution, though, is to raise the investment tax rate versus lowering my personal income rate. How come he doesn't suggest lowering my rate? If it's so good for all the rich people that live off investments, how about lower my rate to that? No, that's not the way we want to go. We want to keep yours up, Tom, and then we're going to raise theirs up to yours. Well, there are a lot of people that live on investment income. They're called retirees. Now, so then, okay, the next answer is, oh, wait, Tom, we're not going to go after people on Social Security and retirees, you know, people like your father that's a retired Air Force officer, or even me. If one day I'm going to be retired. I am retired, but one day I'll start drawing a pension from my military service, my military career, and then eventually my airline career and, you know, any other investments I have. So I won't be working, but I won't be a millionaire or billionaire. So that's the answer. We're only going to raise taxes on millionaires and billionaires. In other words, people making over $250,000 a year on their investments. We're going to raise their taxes. And in fact, the liberal left wants to raise not only their personal income, if they are actually still working, but their investments. You know, Rush Limbaugh did make a good point today when he said that if Warren Buffett would just pay his secretary in stock options, then she'd pay the same interest rate as him. Or the same tax rate as him. Think about that one. So, but here's the kicker. The president, because it's unfair that retirees and rich people that live off of their investments now, and Mitt Romney's retired. He doesn't work anymore. He's retired. That they live off their investment income, and that investment income is a lower rate, and I'm going to explain in a moment why it's a lower rate, that it's not fair. So what's the solution? Well, raise their tax rates. But where does that tax money go? It's not going to go to you and me that are paying higher rates, because if that were the issue, then we would just lower our personal income tax rates. No, it's got nothing to do with balancing things out. It's not about fairness at all. It's about a way for the government to take more money from people. Does anybody out there think that the government is going to take that money from rich people and give it to you? Well, no, they can't. It's illegal. The Supreme Court has ruled you can't take money from one person and give it to another. You can't do it. It's illegal. Okay. So, and that's why Social Security is not taking money from one person and to another. It's you investing in your own, insurance. Right. Ha. Insurance. Yeah. Oh, but you can't call it insurance because that's unconstitutional. So we call it a tax, but we're playing like it's insurance. Yeah. The liberal left can never get it right on what Social Security really is. It is actually taking money from one person and giving it to another. But they find ways to get around that. So, but he's not talking about taking that money and giving it to other people. Like he said, people that are hurting, people that are trying to get by. No, he's not going to give it to them at all. He's going to use it to expand government and, use it on other government projects. You go, well, Tom, it's going to go on to government projects that help you and me out. Well, what government projects would those be? Where our government's $15 trillion in debt, and I don't see any government projects helping me or my neighbors or any of the poor people in my community, even any of the homeless people. I don't see any of that going on. I see it going to make government bigger and more powerful. I see power grabs going on left and right. We've got a new consumer protection organization that was appointed when Congress was not in recess. Wow, he can't do that. Well, he did it anyway. We're consolidating. Now, here's the next one you libtards are going to tell me. Well, we're consolidating the Department of Commerce. A lot of the different bureaucracies are going to be put into just under one bureaucracy. Did they ever say in that proposal that they were going to shrink the budget of the Commerce Department? No, they're not going to give them less money. They might be more efficient and more effective, and there might be less red tape for you and I to go through as a small business, but they're not going to shrink the size of government. You kidding me? Oh, no. That money that they're going to take from the rich is going straight into government. Why is it that to make things fair, when you and I pay too many taxes, the president doesn't say lower Tom's taxes. He says raise the taxes of the rich people. And then, don't give the money to Tom. We'll just keep that here in the government. Yep, Tom will be happy about that. This is absolute class warfare. Taking more money from the rich doesn't – oh, and here's the other thing. Does it solve our debt problem? Did the president ever say that money is going to be used to pay down the debt? No, of course not. He has no intention of paying down the debt. He's never once talked about paying down the debt. He said we have a lot of debt and we have high deficits. That's why we've got to get money from rich people. Well, is that what you're going to use to pay it down? Well, no. Exactly. That's the problem. So how is it that they're really going after you and me? Well, let's think of it this way. I can tell you right now there's not enough money for the rich to pay down the debt and solve our problems. So who does he go to next? Well, I'll tell you what, it'll be the rich again. But how does this harm you and me? Well, what kind of companies does Mitt Romney invest in that he gets $21 million a year? Pension funds? Yeah. Companies that employ people? Yeah. Companies that expand and grow and employ more people? Yeah. So if we take more money from him, he has less money to invest in companies that hire people. And companies that invest in pensions so that my parents don't have to go to work in their 80s. So how does that hurt the middle class? Absolutely. Every bit of money sucked out of the commercial arena, sucked out of the capital arena, sucked out of the private sector is either going to go overseas or it's going to go into government and government will just get bigger. That's what's going to happen. And how does that help you and me? It doesn't help us at all. It hurts us. Okay, so the other thing is you can ask you can ask any of these libtards, well, what is fair? What is fair for Mitt Romney to pay? Give me a percentage. They won't do it. The president won't do it. They will never tell you what's fair because it's never fair enough. What they will do is tell you that, well, we need to raise it to this amount right now. Well, is that fair? Well, no, we'll have to wait and see. Well, it won't be fair, so they'll want to raise it again. Do you know how high FDR raised the personal income tax rate toward the end of the Great Depression? 99%. Anything over $25,000 income would be taxed at 99%. And you know what? That still wasn't fair enough for him. He wanted to make it 100%. So it's never enough for the liberals, never. It's never enough to take more money. And that's why they won't tell you what's fair, because then after a little while they'll go, it's not enough, we need more. We need more. And when they run out of the rich, and when our country is in the crapper because corporations, companies are going overseas, this president is telling you that he's trying to incentivize companies to bring labor back here, et cetera, but then he's taking more of their money. We've talked about this many times on the show. Corporations do not pay taxes. You and I pay their taxes. Taxes are added to their bottom line. It goes into the price of their product and service. So corporations don't pay it. You and I do. So, of course, liberals always want to raise taxes on corporations so that they can get into your pocket. It's all about getting middle-class money. It has nothing to do with getting money from the rich. The rich never hurt over this. It hurts you and me. All right. And the final thing was that here's one last thing on that subject. Well, we hit that one too hard. The president's had 3 years. He's had 3 years to equalize the rich, what the rich are paying and the poor. When he had a majority in Congress, an absolute majority, and an absolute majority in the Senate, was he focused on creating jobs and equalizing the unfairness of the rich and the middle class? No, he didn't care about it back then. He wanted to pass his health care bill because what did Lincoln predict? He needs distinction. He needs to do something that nobody else could ever do before. It doesn't matter whether it helps the country or not. He needs that distinction. That's what he did. Did it help the country? Hasn't helped us at all. Not at all. In fact, we're in much worse shape. The cost of food and gasoline and everything has gone up. Inflation is much higher. And we've got higher unemployment, significantly higher than when he took over. It's just gone up, up, up. So he's not helped the nation at all. He's not been focused on anything. And if you look at his speech last night, he's just retreading his last two speeches. There are plenty of websites on the internet that will play back and forth a previous speech and now, and he's using the same tired lines. So in other words, what he's telling you in his State of the Union address last night, that, hey, I'm just going to keep doing the same old stuff. And it hasn't worked so far, but yeah, you got to elect me because I'm just such a great guy. All right, on the news today, this is the final one here. Really got me. They're saying that the military has got to cut excessive spending, that this administration is going to ensure that we cut excessive military spending. I'm sure there's some excessive military spending there. When in the last 3 years has this administration said they've got to cut excessive government spending? Not once. Not once. Second of all, what's the size of the military budget? Last year it was under $700 billion. $700 billion with a B. Under 680 something. Under $700 billion. What is the size of the federal or the executive branch? We're just talking executive branch, discretionary spending and non-mandatory spending. What's the size of the executive branch and all of its bureaucracies and departments? $1.3 trillion. It is double the size of the military. Double the size of the military. So is this president telling us that the executive branch is streamlined and extremely efficient, and, oh, boy, we just can't live without it? But the military, oh, it's bloated and excessive. It's a lie. The military's not bloated and excessive. There are some excesses there, and we certainly could trim some of the budget there. But there's zero talk, none, about cutting government. And that shows you the direction of this administration. It's going to be to grow more and more. And the savings that we get from the military, do you think that will go to pay off any debt? Of course not. It's going to grow the executive branch. They're just going to roll it over into other bureaucracies of the executive branch. It's not going to go to pay anything off. So keep that in mind. Twice the size. And again, libtards, don't tell me about the consolidation of the Commerce Department. Its budget for next year, I guarantee you, will be the same size as this year. But it's a consolidation of power into fewer hands. And what bureaucracies are we cutting? The only bureaucracies in the entire executive branch that are pro-business. That's what we go after, the pro-business ones, yeah. Yeah. We don't go after the anti-business ones, like the EPA and agriculture and interior. No. We go after the pro-business ones. But we're going to consolidate them and streamline them, make it easier to use. You know what easier to use means in Washington, D.C.? It means not usable at all. It might have been a lot of red tape before. Now it's just not going to be usable at all. But it's not going to be any smaller, and they're not going to cut one single employee. Notice how it's okay to cut the military, and i.e. military members, employees, because they're not unionized. But we wouldn't dare cut one single federal job because, oh, they're unionized. Can't cut unions. This has nothing to do with what's best for the country. It has to do with power. So, sorry to bring be the bearer of bad news, but we've always got to keep things in a constitutional context, and I thought it's a really great speech given by Abraham Lincoln when he was only 28 years old on the dangers that our nation would face, the biggest danger, in fact. He was asked in there somewhere, what's the greatest danger to our nation? He said, it's not going to come from abroad. It's going to come from within. If destruction be our lot, we must be its author and its finisher, and that's the direction we're headed, to be the author and finisher of our own destruction from within. Thank you, Barack Hussein Obama. All right, folks. Well, thanks for joining me tonight, and we'll be back tomorrow, 7 p.m., and as I said, we're going to talk about the intellectual inferiority of the left. I'm going to explain to you why they're so stupid. That's always fun to do. All right. We'll see you tomorrow night.
You're listening to the American Hour with Commander Tom Garcia on the USA Talk Radio Network.